Been a lot of bad teaching about Jesus and how his birth and where he was born and all that. And you know, yes, he was born in Bethlehem, but how many of you know his parents were from Nazareth? Bethlehem was like the hood. Let's get it straight. But that was where they had to go because there was a censor being taken. Now, it says tax, but the reason they say tax because they got to get an account. First, you got to get censored. In other words, they got to get an account of who you are so they know how to tax you. But the whole reason was so they could go there. And it's not like where you could vote early. You got to show up. Say show up. Look at Acts 2. Let's start there. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at verse 29. See, you couldn't vote early in Jesus' day. You had to go in person. All right. Look at verse 29. Acts 2:29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, of the fruit of whose loins? David. So we see Jesus coming through the lineage of David, that of his fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So we see now that according to Acts 2:29, Jesus was going to come down through the lineage of David. Now look at Luke 2:12. Now we're going to cover some scriptures, but that's all right. Scripture is good. Nothing wrong with scripture. Luke 2:12. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, swaddling is very important here because sometimes we think it's just Jesus wrapped on a receiving blanket. No, it was like strips because Jesus came to be the sacrifice lamb. It was the same kind of fabric they used to prepare a sheep for slaughter, a baby lamb. It's what they wrapped him in. That's why it's called swaddling clothes. Hallelujah. Now, in this manger, it was not that wooden thing we saw like that trough we see in most of the plays. That is not what it was. Say, that's not what it was. It is not what you see on your regular greeting cards. It's not like that at all. In fact, it's so far from it because actually it was like a cave. Because when they said they didn't have any shelter and he was born in a manger, the manger was built out of stone because it had to be durable. And wood was not durable when you're trying to water your sheep. So Jesus wasn't born on wood. You see how we get everything mixed up? Because we allow the world to tell us how it's supposed to look. And this is why the body of Christ got to grow up and tell us how it really was. Because we've been living under their doctrine of how Jesus came. And they showed us what they want to show us on a Christmas card, and it's inaccurate. If you buy a Christmas card with Jesus in a manger, in a wooden trough, with the sheep and the three wise kings, it's incorrect. Because they were not on the scene at the same time. Only the shepherds showed up the night he was born. The kings came 2 years later. That's what the word says. So Jesus was born in a cave, not a wooden stable. Born in a trough for animals. That means it was made of stone because it had to be durable. All right. So Jesus, and that was only because there was no place in the hotels. You know, can you imagine if everybody in the state of Virginia had to go to this one place and vote? Can you imagine what that would look like on voting day? Well, that's the way it was in Bethlehem. They all had to go to this one central location and be accounted for. So it was like traffic on top of traffic, donkeys bumping into donkeys. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody going to the same spot. So you can imagine what that must look like. All right. Now, Jesus had relatives. Do you believe that? The Bible said he had some relatives. Look at Matthew 1. Jesus had a few relatives. Some of us don't like to claim our own, but we got a few. Matthew 1, look at verse 16. So this is the lineage of Jesus. So Jesus coming down through the lineage. But we're going to keep reading where you see he got brothers and sisters. Okay, watch this. Look at verse 16. Let's go to verse 15 because we need to start there. And Eliud begat Eleazar. And Eleazar begat Mathan. And Mathan begat Jacob. Who's Jacob? And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. So Jacob is the grandfather of Jesus, naturally. Can I get an amen? So he had some grandparents, just like you and I had grandparents. Woo. So we see Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. All right, so now we're playing something out because I want you to see. Because sometimes we just got to get that fog out of our mind that Jesus was born in this little wooden stable somewhere with all this sheep hanging around him. And that's not true. Look at Luke chapter 1. Let's look at verse 5, I believe. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Okay, now we got a priest in the lineage. But on whose side is the priest? Of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron. So this is a descendant of Aaron. Who was that? Aaron was Moses' brother. Okay, so this lineage goes really deep, right? Of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So Elizabeth is kin to Aaron, who is the high priest. He was the first high priest of the Israelites. Ooh, Jesus. Ah. Are you hearing this? See, there is a king's side, and now there's a priestly side. The king's side coming from David. The priestly side is coming from Aaron. And you getting two just people together. This is why it's important that you marry right. Because the plans of God gets played out in your life if you give the marriage to God. Now, you know, this was so now you know John the Baptist was Jesus what? He was his cousin. See, y'all been taught well in this church. That's why y'all so smart. Look at Matthew 13. So, and John the Baptist was the son of who? Zacharias and Elizabeth. And they were cousins. Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. So John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. They were second cousins. Jesus had a family. All right. So he was not on this earth all by himself. Matthew, look at Matthew 13. I think that's what I told you, right? And let's look at verse 55. Now we're going to see. Look at verse 55. And this is where they're challenging because Jesus now teaching. And they say, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren? Somebody say his brother. He got a brother named James. He got one named Hoseas. He got one named Simon. He got one named Judas or Jude. One translation is Jude. His brother wrote the book of Jude. Had a brother to write the book of James. Jesus had family. Now, of course, his family didn't believe in him until after the resurrection. But then after that, they got themselves together. And the two brothers wrote two books of the New Testament. And then it said, look at verse 56. And his what? So now it didn't say sister, so it just says sisters. So that means plural. You got to have at least two sisters. Could have been more, but we know it's at least two. Because you don't have an S unless there's more than one. Are they not all with us? So Jesus had family. He had brothers and sisters. Look at 1 Corinthians. Man, it was so interesting when I began to study this because I'm going like, you know what? We just overlook all of this stuff and just kind of just, you know, read about the manger. When this is just as important as where he was born. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. Yeah, I think this one. Now it's talking about where, now we see again, he was seen of his brother James. So his brother James, after Jesus was resurrected, then James got online. Because, you know, sometimes your family, the last one to believe that you're right with God. So you got to go ahead and do what God called you to do and not hold up your life trying to persuade relatives. Because it takes them a while to catch up with the new you. And it's okay. You got to know the process and the process. Because family, because they got a history on you, they don't ever let you forget your history. Unless they are born again and really born again, baptized, tongue talking, and turned over. Look at Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. Let's look at verse 7. Now, this is Apostle Paul talking about his kinsmen, because sometimes, you know, but Paul is in the lineage. Watch this. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. So he's saying they knew Christ before he did. So Paul was not without some having some understanding, even though he was killing Christians left and right. He had Christians in his family. Because they were in Christ before he got born again. You see that? See, you got to connect this stuff. You got to begin to connect the word. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Oh, man. Look at verse 30. Now, this is the account. Let's go up a little bit further. This is an account where Paul is in prison. Him and Silas is in prison. And why am I talking about Paul? Because Paul is part of the lineage. And you want to know why God needed him. I mean, God don't want anybody in your family to be lost. Any more than he wanted Paul to be lost. Well, who was Saul back at that time? He didn't want Saul to be lost either. He had to do something drastic to get his attention. This is why you got to intercede for your loved ones. You never give up on them. Never give up on them. But you got to know how to pray effectively and not just pray out of your wishing. That's the only way I can put it. Don't pray out of your wishing. Pray out of your knowing what the word promised. And then we see here that we see down in verse 28 through 30, how that a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, because, you know, here you got all these guards around him, and they decide, and the Lord began to get Paul out. How did he get him out? The angels came and got him. The prison doors were still locked. we're talking about Jesus here. Now, come on. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about his birth. But he came for a reason, and Paul is displaying it. The angels came and got him out. Yes, they did. And it says, soldiers came, and they came back to get them. They said, where are they? They were out preaching again. This is the same type of lifestyle that God wants us to have. Look at Luke. Yep, you got it, baby. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now we see this account. Let's go back up to verse, what I tell you, verse 26 here. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So Mary lived in Nazareth, and so did Joseph, and to a virgin espoused. Now, when you're espoused to a man, how many of y'all know, according to Jewish customs, if you're engaged, you're espoused. That's like being married, but you're not living together yet. You're actually legally to be espoused, to be engaged. It used to be here even in the United States. If you broke your promise of an engagement, you could be fined. You had to pay money or restitution if you broke your vows. Now, they don't hold that anymore, but there was such a law even in the state of Virginia. And in the state, in the United States of America, where you had to uphold your promise. You say, I promise to marry you at such and such a date. That was a legal binding covenant. Of course, we got away from it now. But in Jesus' day, and in Mary and Joseph's day, rather, when you were espoused and then all of a sudden, the girl come and tell you she pregnant and you know you haven't touched her. You say, excuse me. Now, in our day, how many men would say, okay, I'm going to honor you still? No, they're going to start moonwalking. They don't have nothing to do with her because they're going to feel like she cheated on them. But can you imagine? Just think about what's this. And the angel, look at verse 28. Let's finish reading the whole account. Look at verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. David was the house of David. I mean, Joseph came from the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What a powerful thing to say. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Why could she find favor? Because the parents raised both of them right. Why was Joseph and Mary chosen? Not because they were both Jews or whatever. No, they were raised with the word in their lives the whole time. They came out of a kingly and a priestly lineage. And the word was taught them day in and day out. They had to be trusted. We're talking about a girl that was not much older than 15 years of age. But see, that was ordinary in their day. I can remember when my mama got married young because that was ordinary. Some of your parents, if they tell the truth, they got married young. Because that was ordinary. I don't think it should be today because most 15 years don't have sense. They're still learning where the brains are, so they don't need to be married. The last thing they need is a husband or a wife. But anyway, that's another whole subject. But it says here, Look at verse 2. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus or Emmanuel. God is with us. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father. Who? So he's in the lineage of David. That's the kingly side of Jesus. He is he's king and what? High priest. Jesus is king and he's high priest. Glory to God. And he didn't steal it. It came to him through the natural lineage. And it said, he shall be great and shall be called the son of the highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob. Oh, glory to God. Forever and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And you know what? Now she had to make up in her mind. She had to love the Lord more than she loved her own self and her family. Because she was going to go through some, people going to avoid her like a plague. Why? People that knew her going to say, well, now, you can't hide the baby forever. Now, we might get past 3 months, but at some point the baby going to show, right? But she's not married to Joseph yet. She's engaged. She's espoused. Legally, Joseph could have had her stoned. But God chose the right man. Woo, Jesus. Y'all don't know how important that is to have the right people in your life. Hallelujah. Because Joseph had to be a man equally, say equally, in the eyes of God as Mary. He had to find favor with God too. So that means he had to have a life that exemplified God in it. That's why the Bible says he was just, he was merciful, he was a kind-hearted person. So he did not wish to make her an open spectacle to people. He was ready to put her away. And the angel came unto him and said, Joseph, that wish she is having is born of the Lord. Don't worry about it. Now they got to travel. Now he got, now he can't have no sex with her. But that's his wife. He can't touch her for a whole year. He got to be a good man. Then he got to withstand all the gossip to go through the church. All the communities talking about him and her. All the relatives saying, well, I thought she was a good girl. Well, he must have done something to her. Why is she pregnant? You got to live it down. Because you got to know the assignment of God. The assignment was more important than their reputation. That's where we got to get to. The assignment was more important than the reputation. You can't have a reputation when you're living for Jesus. Hallelujah. You can't be, I mean, we're not trying to be trifling. Don't get to the far. Don't go far, 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 way over there. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying you don't need to make a reputation trying to salvage something to make yourself look good. God knows how to make you look good. And he'll make your enemy your footstool. So we see here that this had to be a trying time for both of them. And she had to learn to be an individual. Can you see her mama saying, girl, don't come to my house because then you done embarrass the family. See, having babies out of wedlock used to be an embarrassment. Today is normal. In fact, it is encouraged. But it used to be an embarrassment. Okay. But the Lord preserved them because of the assignment. But they both, said they both, had to be just people. Look at Isaiah. I think that's where I want to go. Y'all know how I write. Okay. Look at Isaiah 11. Did I hear a familiar scripture with somebody? I hear somebody say, all right now. Isaiah 11, let's look at verse 1. Ooh, hallelujah. Now it's describing who Jesus is going to be. If you need to see a clear picture of Jesus, always read Isaiah and the book of Revelation. The Bible says if you read Revelation, you get blessed. And you know, when I was coming up, they told us not to read Revelation because it make you scared. So we avoided Revelation like a plague. That's because most people didn't understand Revelation. But it's the revealing of Jesus. And so it's Isaiah. Look at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Who's Jesse? He's the father of David. A branch and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding. Man, we need to confess that one. In the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Neither reprove after the hearing of his ear. In other words, he's not going to be looking at just what he's looking at in the natural. He's not going to be hearing what he just heard. The Bible says he's going to have quick understanding. And he's going to judge according to what God says. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. I mean, it just talks about him the whole Isaiah 11. You need to read the account because it's talking about Jesus' assignment. So he didn't come to the earth just to keep us out of hell. Thank God that was part of it. But he came to establish the government. Remember that. Look at Romans. I'm going to close in just a moment. Because I feel like Sunday, but we know this Saturday night. Romans 1. For those looking online, praise ye the Lord. Romans 1. Verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. So according to the flesh, Jesus has a family. He has a lineage and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit. Because he's just not natural, but he's spiritual. Of holiness, now the Father God is his Father. By the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See? You need to study, you know, sometimes you need to sit down. I was trying to get my mother to do that before she passed, some years before she passed. Tell us the lineage. You know, because sometimes it get confusing because we got so many people in our family. We got a large family, trust me. And just if just my siblings and all their kids, we had to get us another building. Mm-hmm. It's enough. Daddy and mama had 8. And all my siblings had children. I got children. And all of them got children, children, and children, children. Some of them are great grandparents already. Just me. And JJ. Working on some more. Hallelujah. They coming. Somebody said they felt that throwing at them. Hey, that's all right. This is why you pray in the Holy Ghost. Because you can override the consensus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, where this going? We talking about grandbabies now. All right. So we see that Joseph and Mary both came from a royal lineage. They were chosen. Jesus came from a kingly line, and Mary came from a priestly line. So together we got Jesus. I'm telling you. While you're in the book of go back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 real quick. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I was trying to get to all my notes. But then again, it reiterates what happens to Mary. Talks about, it's just validating. We see it all through the book of Isaiah. Talks about Jesus coming. Talks about his coming. So that's another scripture you can use in your study time, Isaiah 7:14. And the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was prophesied that Jesus was coming years before he came. Now, can you imagine Mary traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is about 70 to 90 miles from, and she's 9 months pregnant and got a ride of donkey, and y'all complaining about driving in the rain with a car that got heat and windshield wipers. If it was raining, depending on where they had to go, if it was raining, she got to have something to cover her up. And Joseph not on the donkey with her because he walking. She got to have that whole donkey to herself. Can't share no donkey with no pregnant woman. That just don't work. Nah, that don't work like that. But can you imagine how uncomfortable it must have been for her to travel that distance at 9 months on a donkey? Ooh, Jesus. And it's not like they can, we can travel that distance in an hour. It took them days to get there. And then you get there, it's so congested, she can't even get in the hotel. And it's not because Joseph was broke. Joseph was a man of means. In fact, if you look up the word carpenter, it says he was a master carpenter. He built things in other cities. Man, I don't have time to teach it all to you tonight. But he went to other cities and built things. He was like an architect. But he could build. So he was not a poor man. Do you think God would send his son to a poor, broke family? Do you not know? We may not be able to show you that, but do you not know the word carpenter actually means techin, where we get our words technology? Joseph was techie. So he had a lot of understanding about building. And he taught the trade to Jesus. So Jesus was not without skills. Say Jesus had skills. That's why they call him a carpenter. Because he had skills. His daddy taught him a skill. But can you imagine? Jesus didn't come from a poor, broke family. Y'all need to lose them Christmas cards. You need to burn them. Because he was not broke. And that stuff they taught you, he had nowhere to sleep. That's because he wasn't in his own town. Jesus' house was big enough that where he could invite people in and have a service. Is your home that big? If it ain't, don't talk about Jesus, because he was not broke. Let's tell the truth so our children can grab hold of faith. Hallelujah. So they can really understand what Christmas is about. Christmas, getting gifts is good, but you need to understand Jesus came into this earth so you can benefit from his life. Hallelujah. But here we see, I'm getting ready to close, and this is my second closing, but they're 70 to 90 miles away from their hometown. She's getting ready to have a baby. Mama not near her. Because I know when I was in labor, sometimes the men, they're good, but sometimes they don't know enough to help you. Tell it. See, the women get it. Look at y'all. Don't turn your eyes away from it. You know your man don't know nothing about delivering no baby. And you wish your mama was in the room. Your husband was trying to be brave. I told my husband when I was delivering our babies, the only way he came in and he still missed it was DJ. He had decided he was going to come in the room with DJ. But they said, well, she might be another 2 hours in labor. And he went downstairs outside to listen to Kenneth Copeland tape. 45 minutes go past, he come back. I've had DJ. I told him, you shouldn't have left the room. You don't listen to those nurses. Your mama told you to stay. She knew. But I'm telling you. But that's the way, that's the predicament she's in. She don't have mama. All she got is Joseph and the Holy Spirit. Thank God the Holy Spirit was present. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, but can you imagine that? And then you're going through all this trauma. You got to go and get accounted for. You got to go and take this census and be accounted so you can be taxed. Now they know how to tax you because they know how many people in your family, because that's the way it was. And like I said previously, you could not miss it. And they showed up the last day because she pregnant. April the 15th. Y'all, how many of y'all familiar with that date? Okay, then y'all know what I'm talking about. If you go past April the 15th, what you have to do? Ask for an extension in writing. Well, they couldn't get an extension because that was their closing day. And they had to show up, and God got them there on time. But can you imagine? Then after doing that, she goes into labor. Man, I'm telling you. Joseph had to be a man of faith. Not only that, but they had to go and live. Now here's Jesus born. And they're going to go back to their home. But then we find out that the Herod is after them. He wants to kill them. And God to the angel says, go into Egypt. Well, Joseph doesn't have a work permit to work in Egypt. Even though he's a skilled craftsman, he cannot work without a work permit in another country. How does he live for 3 years in Egypt with no work permit? The same God that gave Jesus to them provided. Because he was not a broke man. Can't be broke. So he had money being shipped to him. But see, you got to remember, by the time Jesus get back home, now here come the kings flooded. And there's another thing I begin to study. I'm going to put this in it. You need to write this one down. We got this wrong too, that there were three kings. Oh, no, it was not Sugar Baby. It was at least 100 kings. And they all had 1,000 people. Kings don't travel with just 2-3 people like they do today. They came in caravans, and each king had at least 1,000 people with him. Can you imagine? No wonder Herod was upset when the king showed up. He trying to figure out, who is this you coming to honor with all this gold and myrrh and silver and frankincense? You talk about a king, he said, I got to find out who this is. And Herod said, he can't live in my turf. So he began to kill any baby that was how old? So now if Jesus was still in the manger, you can't be two and in a manger too. Now which one is it? The Bible says they were two and under. So that means Jesus had to be at least 2 years old when this took place. I'm helping you, I know. Because we've messed this up big time. But here we see this caravan. No wonder Herod was upset. Can you imagine your whole city being invaded with that many kings coming to your town? And they ride in here. They got this whole group of people following them. He got all his house, all his family. They coming to honor the real king. You got at least 12,000 people coming to your city at one time. Man, that was good to me. Amen. See, you never thought of it like that. Jesus didn't come in just a lonely little manger. No, there were great exploits that was done, but we just ignored all the stuff that we see that the Bible tells us, because Jesus came like a king. The world just didn't recognize him. just didn't recognize him. So tonight, I'm asking you to recognize the real king, who is Jesus. And tonight, we need to honor him.